the Bible, and health. Hi, this is Carl Kosar from the School of Theology at Walla Walla College. Welcome to Probe, our weekly radio program that explores biblical and theological topics that are central to our Christian faith. Today we continue in our series of topics entitled, Thy Word is a Lamp unto My Feet, the Bible for Today. To help us explore this important subject, I've invited two of my colleagues to join me in the discussion, Dr. Bruce Johansson, Professor of Biblical Studies, Dr. Dave Thomas, the Dean of our School of Theology. Gentlemen, welcome again, and thank you for joining me.
Thanks, Carl.
You're kind to welcome us, Carl.
The Bible and health. You know, in this coming year, Americans will spend more than $1 trillion on health care and billions on supplements and alternative medical treatments. Yet I think we can agree that Americans are hardly the healthiest people in the world. So this week's lesson gives us the opportunity to evaluate what insight the Bible has to offer on this timely subject. You know, as I thought about the issue of Bible and health, I mean, there are a number of journals and forums today related to health and wellness. And that raises the question in my mind, do Christians really have something unique to say on this subject? I mean, in an age of specialization, should the church focus on spiritual issues like salvation and leave issues of health to the experts on nutrition? What do you think? Is this out of our league?
I think if you look at the New Testament, I can only think, you might be able to remind me of some more, but there's only one text that deals specifically with health, and that's in 1 Timothy.
Okay.
Talks about, you know, exercise is good, but godliness is better.
But there's also wishes that you will be in good health.
Yes. That's right.
Yes, no, that is true. But you don't find lots of discussion on, you know, an exercise program. I mean, you mentioned one, I guess.
An exercise program, though, is really a consequence of very easy living. That most people in the world don't need exercise programs.
Sure.
The laborer does not need that. Mm-hmm. That it's interesting that the way our lives have come now is that they're very comfortable and we've become soft so that we now spend money to go and exercise.
Mm. Yeah.
All the health clubs and equipment and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's kind of just a little observation.
Yeah.
Well, I think health is a very, very, I think it's a pertinent subject. I think that the doctrine of creation is a good place to start this discussion.
Okay.
Is that if we are made by God's design, that for us to be cognizant of healthful issues, that care for the life that God has given us, mm-hmm. is a very sound concern. I would extend it. I think it even includes ecological concerns.
Yes.
If God made this world and left us to have
the
some kind of caretakers, that, you know, and we are part of the created world, so just as we care for the trees and atmosphere and everything, we should care for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm going to bring in the moral dimension. If I am a father and I'm the only one who has a job in the family and I have 8 kids,
mm-hmm.
I only have 3, but let's say I have 8 kids, and then I eat in a way and I don't exercise in a way that is pretty sure to debilitate me, what is my responsibility to my family?
That's a great line.
Am I really thinking about my family's well-being by abusing my body?
Yeah, and actually, if you mistreat yourself, not only will you be unable to care for them, they will have to care for you.
And I become a burden.
Mm-hmm.
So there is, in a sense, a moral dimension.
And I think this is also very challenging because mm-hmm. I think, you know, we struggle with health. We struggle with diet. And oftentimes, from a spiritual perspective, our health habits can be related to discouraging issues in life. People who want to retreat into the, you know, inside of their home and to be entertained and eat has a sense of bringing peace and satisfaction. But it can be very, very destructive to a person's spiritual life, to their physical life.
Yeah.
Very challenging.
I there's one sense in which I don't think we have explored enough in religious community. It's more and more today. You see it coming up more and more today. And that is the dimension of having a healthy mental spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
It has a profound impact on our physical
healthy
well-being.
Healthy mental spiritual life affecting the way
our physical well-being. It's proven. Mm-hmm. It's proven, hands down.
Yeah, just discussion of stress. You know, stress is very mm-hmm. destructive.
It's extremely, and a negative attitude, a you know, looking down and looking on the black side all the mm-hmm. time, is extremely destructive mm-hmm. to our bodies. And so, in a sense, Christian spirituality has one of the best recipes, I think, for if a person can find peace and mm-hmm. happiness and you know, spiritual equilibrium, it'll have a huge impact on their well-being.
And I think this goes back just to what Dave was saying about the idea of God as the creator.
Yeah.
Right. So he's concerned with the whole person, which includes not just spiritual life, but our physical life as well.
So we're saying that there are practical reasons, there are moral reasons, and there are theological reasons for us to be concerned and interested in health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very definitely.
Mm-hmm. And the Apostle Paul says in Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So you think about that. Can we be too preoccupied? Can we make health the gospel instead of the gospel the gospel? Is there some dangers here too?
Oh, yeah. There's salvation by
vegetarianism. What do you do with that text about don't you know that your body is a temple?
I got to be careful with that text. I'm not saying that there isn't a principle there, but your body is, you are the temple. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I believe. And it says that you are the temple of God. You, plural, though.
Yes,
thing is in the context of church strife.
Yes. Yeah.
And we have taken that out of its context. And it says, he who destroys the temple, God will destroy. And what Paul is talking about is destroying your fellow church members.
Yeah. In fact, I read that a few years ago, and it really struck me that the you there is plural. It's not singular. It's not talking about your body. It's talking about the body of believers.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have in Ephesians the same metaphor that the church is God's temple built up, you know.
And that's interesting how we can be very persnickety about caring for our own bodies, but we'll beat up on our fellow believers.
Yes.
Yes, I've seen that far too often.
It's a text pulled out of context, but the principle is good too. If you are the temple of God's Spirit, you want to look after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I think the principle is true.
Yeah.
But I do think there is a danger of being so preoccupied that we make the gospel all about health, and health is important, don't get me wrong, but that with the neglect of the good news that we have in Jesus Christ can become very legalistic.
Yeah. And that's where Romans 14 helps us to come back to balance.
Yes, and I think there's another dimension that is allied to what you were saying earlier, Bruce, is that if we believe that the mind and the body are connected, and as you say correctly, that there is huge evidence today that you can't divorce the two. At the same time, the mind is the mechanism by which God communicates to us and by which we have our relationship with God. It makes a whole lot of sense to me to have your body in good shape.
In good shape,
your mind may be in good shape.
There's a reciprocity there.
Yeah. And I mean, it's very simple to test this. You know, go take a test when you have a headache and see how well you do compared to when you come, you know, with a good night of sleep and you're all, you know.
And if you're feeling depressed and down,
there's
nothing better than a good brisk walk.
Oh, yeah. And breakfast.
Yes.
Just the motivation sometimes. No, I do think that's true. And it's interesting in our society today because our society, I think, has made such progress in concern about health. I mean, today you can go to the store, any store, and get a wide variety of products that are very healthy for you.
That's right.
But I want to say something about the risk of being stoned. That, you know, I think that food is best when it's the way God made it. You know, that we as human beings do all kinds of things to food. Yeah. I'm not talking about raw food, although I think raw food is good. I'm not advocating a raw food diet, but it's funny to me how we take flour and we run it through all kinds of processes.
Be careful.
We bleach it. I know. or we go after supplements. You know, we look for the magic bullet. I remember once when some people went on a grape diet, they said that this was the ideal food. And, you know, then they show up with deficiencies. To use common sense and to balance is way better than to be off on any kind of a fad. Absolutely. You don't live on medicine. You live on food. You know, if you have to take medicine, that's understandable, but you don't live on it.
Yeah.
But it is interesting, I think, too, because we do see the definite increase in health consciousness.
Yeah.
But in our secular society, it seems like it's separated or divorced from spirituality.
Yeah.
And I think this is the message of Scripture, is that these two are connected together, that there's a wholeness, that there's a health.
And I like that word, wholeness. I think that we should see life in its entirety. realize that when you're young, there are certain issues and practices that mm-hmm. prevail. When you get older, you must be more prudent, mm-hmm. not be jumping off cliffs and, mm-hmm. and you know, taking huge risks. Although I saw a guy who was on his 100th birthday, he went for a jumped out an airplane with a parachute, and he lived fine. But so, I mean, not to be against. Well, I think even the question of risk taking is a health issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, why do we put ourselves at risk, significant risk, just to get adrenaline jolts?
Mm-hmm.
This idea of the holistic nature of life is something that I think requires a lot of thought on our part.
Yeah. I have a question for you. This is can be a challenging question, perhaps, for many of our listeners. But as Adventists, we've been very conscious about health, and we've gone back to the Old Testament and Leviticus 11, the distinction between clean and unclean meats seems very clear to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yet there are certain laws in Leviticus that we don't take. Issues, for example, you know, of boiling a young goat in its mother's milk, which has led some Jews to have a ban on cooking or eating anything that have milk and, you know, meat together.
Mm-hmm.
How do we distinguish between certain things we do take in Scripture and certain things we leave?
It's not easy. I think one has to use a certain amount of common sense. Leviticus 11 is not an easy passage.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that if you look at all the rules of which animals to avoid, the bad ones are at the top of the food mm-hmm. chain. It makes
yeah,
a lot of sense.
Predators, yeah.
The predators.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. But really, Leviticus 11 is about avoiding blood.
Mm. Yeah, and there's also ritualistic things that we let go.
What do you do with if an unclean dead animal falls on your clay stove? You got to mm-hmm. destroy it. But if it falls in your water supply, it's clean.
Strange.
That's very strange.
Mm-hmm.
We don't practice a woman having given birth to a boy baby. Mm. She can't go to the temple for 33 days. Girl baby, 66 days.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we don't practice that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you look at a rule of thumb, there's some good things there mm-hmm. in Leviticus, but I think if we absolutize it, we get into trouble.
This is a challenge to have a temple-based society
yeah.
versus
yeah.
Jesus, the fulfillment,
yes.
really, of
yeah.
the temple,
yeah.
And things we don't understand. But
blood is polluting, mm-hmm. so you want to stay
yeah,
pure to be able to go to the temple.
Ritualistic element in yes. that chapter, not just health
yes,
ones.
Yes, because it's very clear. I mean, we have issues of clean and unclean animals before the flood, even, right?
Oh, yeah.
So those transfer, but yeah. I think other issues are more challenging for us, but... Once again, I mean, this is the joy to me of studying Scripture, and that's what I hope our listeners take seriously.
Yeah.
Because, you know, reading Scripture can be encouraging and challenging, and sometimes you rub your head and you get confusion, and later it becomes clear. This
yeah.
is it's a lifelong pursuit. And I
keep
hope
coming back to the big
always,
picture.
Yes, the goodness yeah. of God, that He would care for us and
yeah.
be concerned with the whole person, not just little aspects of our lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, I want to thank you again. This has been a good discussion. Dr. Bruce Johansson, Dr. Dave Thomas, and I also want to give thanks to Susan Michael, who has given us technical assistance again, and to you, our faithful listeners of Probe, for joining us today as we talked about the Bible and health. And please join us next week as we continue to explore the importance the Bible has for us today as we deal with the issue of the Bible and happiness. For Probe, I'm Carl Kosar.
You've been listening to Probe, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla College and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194 or email us at probe@wwc.edu. Thanks for listening. We'll be here next week at this time with Probe.